Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It sure is good to be here, isn't it? Amen. Amen. I really, I enjoy our choir. I mean, always, I have to say. But, tonight, Brother Nathan, it just sounds just a little extra special. I was thinking about that last song when you were singing it there. I love how that last verse, when you sing the last verse and you go into that second chorus, you go into the chorus, and then you repeat that chorus. It's like it just keeps going on. You know, it's just like it just feels like it just could keep just going on. And, that reminds me of what heaven's going to be like. It'll be one song after the other, just continuing. You don't have to worry about leaving and going home or anything like that. You are home. We're all home. Boy, I tell you, I get excited about that, and I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for the one who made it possible. It's all about Jesus, and I'm so thankful for him and thankful for the good news that we had today. And just a message with Brother Curtis. I saw the video earlier, but I was just checking on to see if they made it home, and he said, "We're all home together." And I was like, praise the Lord. Boy, that's good to hear. That's been a hard time. You think about the duration of it, but there at the end, it seemed like it just kind of kept tacking on, kind of lasting a little bit longer and longer. That endurance had to keep going on. But praise the Lord, they're home now, and I thank the Lord for that. If you will, let's be turning to Hebrews chapter number 13. I'm trying to look at verses 7 through 19. I'll try to just kind of hit the high spots. We do have a business meeting tonight, and I'll try to hit the high spots there, because there is a lot to cover. And looking at last week, there's a lot of information. One could have broken that down in probably about three, four, or five different messages, maybe, because of the titles, the topics that he was talking about, and kind of wanted to just kind of hit the high spots, if you will. My intent is to kind of do that tonight, because, again, just a little brief review over the book of Hebrews. I believe that it was kind of written earlier on, the verses or chapters 1 through 12, written at one period of time, and then chapter 13, written at a later time. You kind of see a break there, and then you see a difference in what's being discussed. And even at the end, Lord willing, maybe next week we'll close out with this book, but he makes mention of how short a letter this was, and I believe he's basically referring to just to chapter 13 when in saying that. But I hope this has been a blessing and a help to you. It really has to me. With everything that we've kind of see going on in current events in Israel, and just how that is intensifying, and every day just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen next, and being able to have our conference the way we have, it just seems like everything's kind of current events right now. The Bible is always up to date. You never have to worry about that, but I just find it all very interesting. But help me pray about where the Lord would have us to go next time, the next book or next series of lessons or messages, however he leads on that. I don't really have a direct path just yet, but I know he'll make that plain. But let's be in prayer for that also. We'll go ahead and we'll jump right into it tonight. Last week we were talking about social duties with the title of Brotherly Love. It's kind of hard to put a title on all of those things, but it kind of talked about in relation to how you deal with your brother, your marriage, different kind of relationships there with strangers, with angels. Tonight's kind of goes on a little bit further along those lines, some degree, but it also talks about taking care of those that are in spiritual leadership or those in the church. I think is very good for us to remember, but it's about spiritual duties. Now, I was thinking a little while ago, as they were singing, how important it is to keep up with things. If we try to keep up with a healthy food regimen or diet regimen, it's something you do daily. It's not something you can do once, and that's going to last you forever. It's something you have to do constantly, consistently. Our spiritual duties are the exact same way. Not that we get in a stagnant habit of just doing things, but we do things for a purpose, and we do things with a goal in mind, an intent in mind, the intent to stay close to the Lord and what he would have for us to do, stay close to his protection, not want to get out of that. It wouldn't take anything in this day and time to get in a mess. It really wouldn't. Physically, spiritually, wouldn't take anything at all to get in a mess. But I'll read these verses here, and then we'll pray and we'll get into it tonight. Verse 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Talking about the law here, these next couple of verses. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He wasn't crucified in the temple, if you remember. It was on Golgotha. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch our souls as they that must give account, unto that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Let's pray. Father, I just want to come to you tonight, Lord, just so thankful for all your many blessings, God, for your protection, for your provision. Lord, we thank you so much for allowing the McKinneys to make it home tonight and little Zeke. God, we just thank you so much for that they could be together. We just pray, Lord, and ask that you just help them and these days to come, Lord, as his body tries to heal, Lord, and just kind of move forward. Lord, I just pray that you be with them and help them. And all around us, God, there are so many objects of prayer. We'll have prayer time later, but so many objects, Lord, God, to pray for. We don't want to forget those tonight. God, I pray that you be with us, be with those, and as we seek a new chancellor at the university, God, we just pray that your will be done there. Just, I don't want to leave anything out as we pray, God. Everything's important, makes a difference, and we want you to be honored in everything, God, and just seek your will. I think it's important to pray for those things, and be with us here tonight. God, be with this lesson. Help us to understand it, take it to heart, learn from it and grow from it, God, and just apply it to our lives. Be with those that are lost in our church, those listening in that are lost, God, help us to be a witness to them. And our young people, God, help us, God, to stand with them and help them, God, in the challenges that they're facing. Go with us tonight, Lord. Be with us in the business meeting. Ask all these things in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. So spiritual duties, that was the subtitle that my Bible had. And I thought that'd be probably the easiest thing to kind of follow through again, because it kind of covers different things, different attributes, I guess you could say, of spiritual duties or leadership. And the first thing that we see here right off the bat in verse number 4 is spiritual leadership for those that, for godly leadership. And I think that's one thing in our nation, and maybe even in a lot or some of our churches across the country, that we're lacking is godly leadership. And I'll explain it a little bit more about what I'm meaning there, because I think sometimes in the hope or the quest to raise numbers or raise attendance in church, people have tried to just compromise to make it more of a community center or make it more of a club or something like that. And that is not what God intends the church to be. It's just really not. I would love to see the house full, but I want to say this. I hope I can say it the right way. I would love to see the house full tonight, but I would be so content if those that are here are spiritually full tonight. And I mean that. That's what this is about. It's not about just seeing numbers of people if they're not getting anything from it. I'd love to see the people here get and gain and grow from what's being taught, what's being preached. That's the most important thing. You know, the Bible does teach, Brother Archie, it teaches the falling away. So I've looked at it that way. I remember, you know, people saying, you know, oh, this church, that church, what have you, used to be overflowing or what have you. The Bible teaches that the falling away is going to take place, and that's a real thing. And what you saw in the past may definitely not be what we see in the future. And that's something for us to be mindful of, but I say those things to lead into this here, talking about our leaders or our godly leaders. Verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And I think that's important as you remember those that have stood before you before in the past, maybe those that have gone on, and remember them and appreciate them. But it's saying here to remember them and not to forget them. I think maybe that could be easy sometimes throughout the week to be so busy with what you have going on that you can forget those that are going to be opening up on Sunday morning, or those that are going to be teaching or preaching on Sunday morning. And it's kind of hard to talk about these things because it almost sounds like that you could turn it into a pity party or make it out like you're trying to get attention. But I don't mean it that way at all. And I take no shame in asking you for your prayers, your support, and your encouragement. I have no problem asking you for that. Brother Tim, different ones that stand from Sunday to Sunday, I tell you, it would be hard to do those things continually without those three things. People that are taking a part, taking interest, that are praying. If you want more out of your Sunday school or more out of the messages or more out of the singing, I tell you, I challenge you, pray. Pray over it. Pray over it and get involved with it. Make it a real thing. A lot of what you see in these verses here are very, very practical. What we saw last week, very practical. Practical in the physical sense, tonight more so spiritually. But it's saying to remember them and not to forget them. It seems like that things get so busy. I think really that's what the devil tries to do with us. He can't necessarily attack our soul. If you're saved and your soul is sealed, and I believe that with all my heart, that's what the Bible teaches, he can't have that. If he could unsave you, he would do that tonight, but he can't. So what does he do? He wants to work on your mind. He wants to work on your emotions. He wants to work on your body. I think that is how he attacks us. He keeps us busy, makes us tired. When it comes to the spiritual things of life, then it's like, I'm too tired to study. If I sit down to read, I'll fall asleep. If he works on our minds and keeps us anxious about things, it's hard to sometimes just slow down and calm down enough to study. Have you ever been there? I have. I've heard preachers say before, just in passing, he said, "Brother, I think I have ADHD. I feel that way a lot. I'll sit down and it's like, I'll read over something and it's like, I know there's a golden nugget in there. I know there is something good in there. And then I'll read over it and then my mind will go to something else. And it's hard to stay focused on things sometimes. And I believe that is by design. But I always covet your prayers. I always do. And you think about our teachers, those who stand from week to week. We covet your prayers. I want your support. I love seeing you in your seats. I love seeing you here. I believe that's an important thing. If you want your pastor to know how much you appreciate him, just be there. A lot of it really is just being faithful. As they were singing, I was thinking about that. It's not that we really, for the most part, as servants of God, that he is asking us to do some major event. He's really just asking for us to be faithful. Just be there. Be there. Pray, support, and encourage. But we kind of see how this takes some turns here. It says, faith follow, following the good faith of those, considering the end of their conversation, their behavior, their fellowship, how they conducted themselves. And it reminds us here, regardless of how people are, people will change. People will surprise you. Again, we've talked about this, hurt you, be good to you, and they'll surprise you maybe in a good way, maybe in a bad way. But aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I love how that verse is put in there in that right spot. You know, if we're following, we've kind of said this, if we're following our Christian life is kind of based on somebody else and what they're doing. If they're motivated, we're motivated. If they're faithful, we're faithful. Then our relationship isn't really directly with God. That's something you have to do personally, every single one of you. Husband and wife, if one is not engaged, then you still need to be engaged in what the Lord's doing. You have to do that. I had a friend tell me one time before I got married, he said, "People say marriage is 50-50. And I said, "Yeah, I've heard that." He said, "That's wrong. That's wrong." He said, "It's 100% and it's 100%. Both of you have to bring 100% to the table." I thought, man, that's good. And he's right. He'd been married for some years, and after being married and experienced some things, you really have to bring 100% to the table. If you think about Jesus and what he's saying here, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You think about yesterday, and I kind of looked into that a little bit more. Acts chapter 1:11, it says, "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." You think about Jesus of yesterday. Brother Bill, I'd probably put that categorization in the time that he lived on this earth. We weren't here for that time. Yesterday, if you want to refer to it as that, you think about this. A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. That's 2,000 years. So 2 days ago, that's not that long, is it? A couple of days ago when you put it in that perspective. But yesterday, you think about the life Jesus had on this earth. Very few people, or maybe there's some, and I appreciate it when I see it and try to be that way myself, but when you see somebody, they're kind of the same all the time. They might have good days or bad days, but they're kind of the same. A lot of times you see people, you don't know what you're going to get today, maybe not at all what you had yesterday. But you think about the Jesus that walked on this earth, when he was here for his lifespan on this earth, in the flesh, the ministry that he had, what he taught, what he preached, what he walked, what he done, that is who he is. He's the same person. You know, just by his attributes that we read in the Bible, we should be able to know who he is when we see him, and I know we will. But that's who he was. You think about who he is today. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's there interceding for us. He was interceding for us when he was here on this earth. He's interceding for us today. That's what he does. That's who he is. The Bible says many times this same Jesus, you think about the one that left there in Acts. The same one is coming back. I like that. That's exciting. It's not like, well, I wonder what we're going to have when he comes back. The same one that left. Praise the Lord. And guess what? Then you have, and forever, that's eternity. You get to be with him forever. Praise the Lord. Somebody that special, somebody that good, to get to be with them forever. See, we're reminded of that. I think sometimes when we get on our hearts and minds, maybe we disappoint people, people disappoint us. Jesus is not in the disappointing business. He's the same. He's the same. People might change, but he does not change. I change not, I believe even the Bible says. And it also goes down here, you do see some kind of carryovers. Verse number 9, and that in mind about Jesus and how he doesn't change, it says here, "Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." So I look at this a little bit here. Diverse and strange doctrines, different things. And I believe we kind of, I say we, people get into different things because I get questions asked a lot of times, well, what do you think about this? I'm sure maybe you do too, if people you work with or you know. Let me ask you something. What do you think about this? What does the Bible say about this or what have you? And we see in 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away." I was talking about before, people are turning away. I want to stop that. I want to change that, but I don't know how. I pray about that often. Lord, please don't let it be that way. But the Bible has already set things in motion that they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. People want to hear something that sounds good. I think what it is, people say they have controversy about maybe alcohol and things like that. We have the verses here, homosexuality. I know people don't want to talk about that. That's a hot topic, whatever. But let's just be honest. Let's be honest about this. You know, I think sometimes what happens, and I'm speaking from the heart, I think sometimes what happens is, well, I know somebody that's gay. And, you know, they're a real nice person. You know, and I'm not being mean or sarcastic at all when I say that. I know a lot of people. Know a lot of people that are nice. But here's the thing. When you really think about it and you say, well, I really like this person. And I know the Bible says this, but they're just so nice.
How can that be wrong if they're just so nice? Well, here's the thing. You think about when Jesus was in heaven and he looked down at this earth and he said, look at all those people. And you know what? He loved us. He still loves us. But did he ever say, well, they're just good old people. They don't need me. Did he say that? No, he looked down and he's like, they are an absolute mess. Somebody has to do something. Somebody has to step in. They can't even see the error of their way. They're at enmity with me. They can't even get to the Father without me. I have to do something. He came here and died so people would have a way out of that, not a way to stay into it. You think about it like this. You think about when they come to bring the sacrifices in. I've really tried to think about it and really put my heart and my thought in how to explain things to people. You think about bringing the sacrifice in. Do you think when they brought it in, that sacrifice in, and they would cut the throat of that lamb, they'd see the blood pouring out, the bleeding? You know, it had to be a dramatic situation. They saw that happen. You think in the back of their mind, they're like, man, I can't wait to get out and just sin again. I just get out and do this again. You think they thought, man, this right here is covering what I have done in the past. Wouldn't it be nice to not have to do this? Wouldn't it be nice maybe if I didn't do these things? Why does it have to be this way? Because sin comes with a price. It just does. That's just how it is. It's not something that God looks over. God is not going to look over anybody. Anybody that gets into heaven has to go through Jesus Christ. I'm preaching to the choir. I had a shouting fit the other day in Zaxby's with a couple of my buddies at work. We were talking about it. I said, guys, we're talking about salvation. You think, well, what about the law in the Old Testament? Well, you know, when you look back at Abraham, what was counted as righteousness for him? He trusted God. What is counted for righteousness for you and me? We trust God. That's how it works. I said, you know what, brother? I said, there is not a Jew way, and there is not a Gentile way. There's only a Jesus way. That's it. That's all you got. That's all you need. People need to understand that. It's very simple. We try to mess it up with things and say, well, maybe this ain't so bad. And that's why I think we have a lot of these doctrines that we have today, false doctrines, because people don't want to be offended. Told you, I guess, a few weeks ago, we watched some series and things on TV. It's on YouTube. Don't really watch so much TV anymore. Everything's pretty much streamed now, I guess, for the most part, or good part of it. But the things that people are falling for just blows my mind. Mentioned it. You have stadiums. I'm talking about stadiums of people. The whole get rich kind of thing. You know, you give to me and God will give to you. Well, I'll be rich. All this stuff and all the healing, all the things. I'm like, how can people fall for that? If you listen to their message, there is nothing about what I've seen. There's nothing about the remissions of sins. There's nothing about repentance. There's nothing about you need to stop living in your sin. They don't get to any of that. There's no conviction to it. It's all surface. It's all superficial. And again, people, it gets to the point when people are just, I guess you see these little ecumenical or whatever kind of things showing up and people having a movement in the flesh, and it says, for they'll come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want to hear about their sin. You want to get right with God, you have to deal with that. I have to deal with that. There's no other way around it. You want to have that close relationship with Him, you have to give up some things. He wants us to do that for Him. Why? Because He sacrificed His life for us. I think that's a fair ask from Him, don't you think? Kind of see how He comes along here. It's better that our hearts be established with grace, goodwill and kindness. You think about the unmerited favor, not with meats, not with carnal things, not with temporal things. He's talking about having grace one to another. Again, looking at the spiritual need, looking at the soul of a person, not just the physical side of things. We see verses 10 through 12. It's talking about, again, the law. It says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. They didn't do that. They didn't do the burning inside of the tabernacle or inside the camp. They did that on the outside. You see the symbolism? Again, remember talking to the Hebrews here. It said, for, again, wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate.
You think about the temple where it was, where people could see, but then Golgotha out to the side of it. It wasn't inside the temple. He wasn't crucified inside. It was on the outside. Verse 13 said, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." Not holding on to false doctrines, not holding on to the law. But go outside the camp where Jesus is at. Follow him is what this is referring to. Get away from the law, get away from sacrificing people. Moving forward, talking about wanting to build the temple. What's the number one reason to have the temple? To start sacrificing again. It's pointless. It's absolutely pointless. That temple will serve no other point or no other place, maybe a landmark to let us know a sign of the times, but that happens on down during the tribulation period. We won't be here to see it. We're not going to miss anything. The sacrifice that we needed to know about has already taken place. That's what we need to remember. I'm trying to explain that to folks, but leaving false doctrines and false teachings and following in his reproach, what he bearing his reproach, what he had done for us. Verse 14 here kind of gives us a reminder. It said, "For here we have no continuing city." Here. It kind of really lays it out for us. You know, Jerusalem, hot topic, I know. Everything's going on, the Temple Mount and everything there. The Bible is telling us here, here we have no eternal home. That should tell us right there, anybody reading that should say, well, that temple, well, what about the temple? What about it? It's not eternal. It's temporal. Talking about the Jerusalem. We're talking about the new Jerusalem to come down, but we seek one to come. Think about how that millennial reign is going to be. That same Jesus will be the one leading that millennial reign. How precious that is to think about that. Verses 15 and 16. Now this is important here. I know that, I mean this with all my heart. I don't try to work people up. I would hate to work somebody up to do something, but it's a blessing to see when the Holy Spirit does, when he gives that unction. But really think about what Paul is saying here. It says, verse 15 again, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." The sacrifice of praise. Does that not sound kind of contradictory? Should it be a sacrifice to praise God, or should it be kind of an easy thing? You think about Jesus on the cross and what he did and why he did it, knowing the condition that we were in, loved us enough to try to help us or do. He did the way. He made the way to help us out of our condition. That right there is enough to shout on forever. It just really is. The Bible, even here, Paul's commanding, the Bible is commanding it. It said, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." You see, it's a continual thing. I know in these bodies we have up days and down days. Sometimes you can't even control it. I mean, it's just kind of how it is. Sometimes outside things affect you, and sometimes you just feel rotten and you don't even know why. You just do. That's how it is. But the Bible says here to praise him continually. And then it goes on to explain. It says, that is, you know, it kind of really, Brother Terry, it lines it up for us. It doesn't just say, keep it on the inside. It doesn't say that. But continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That means verbalizing it. That means saying it. That means singing it. That's what he's talking about here. Getting out and doing these things. Telling people what the Lord has done for us. Shouldn't be a sacrifice to do that. It should be an honor to do that. To tell people, you know, you think about how quick it's going to be when the Lord comes back and we're out of here. What is the world going to say about us? Boy, that sorry, sad bunch, I'm glad they're gone. Maybe we can be happy now. Is that what they're going to say? Or are they going to say, boy, I'm going to miss their singing. I'm going to miss their shouting. Now I know why they were so happy about what they have. Think about our testimony. If you think, if we're among the living, when the Lord comes back, it'll be our testimony, be the last thing they see before the Lord comes back. You ever think about that? Did we really carry the torch like we were supposed to? Did we let life kind of take over? Did we let disappointments take over? Do we start falling out of church, becoming unfaithful? You think about the falling away, I would say potentially the number, I would say almost definitely the number inside the church will be less than the number outside the church. Wouldn't you want to be numbered on the inside? I've said it many times, I guess, thinking about Brother Dennis Eller singing about dying on the battlefield. Boy, that's the way to go. That's the way to go. I'd hate to meet the Lord in a situation where I wasn't serving Him. I wasn't there doing what He'd have me to do. And I'm just telling you, you think about it, it's going to happen that quick. It's going to happen fast. Verse 15, 16 again, but by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. That means to give, to do good and to give, to communicate, to help. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. He's saying stay in the game. Help your brothers, pray for them, support them. And as we come down to here to verse 17, it kind of reiterates what we saw in verse number 7. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, you think about when you have good days, bad days maybe, and I was thinking about a movie I saw one time. These brothers were trying to keep up with their younger brothers, and the brother just said, "Why can't you do what you're told?" And that is rang in my head all day. And I'm not even just talking about church; just general things. You think about it. You think about trying to lead people, supervise people, help people. You know, not in the business of leading people the wrong way. My heart's desire is to lead everybody in the right way. I don't want anybody to stumble. Don't want to be a stumbling block. It says here to obey. Now, there's some people absolutely wouldn't obey, but it outlines and it kind of says here, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. Again, that's another word that we've talked about a lot recently. That means to yield or to surrender to the authority of. I think as a person preaches and teaches, or you have teachers or people in your life that you learn, you grow from, and you trust with, or learn from, you grow and trust with them, I think you would know for the most part who you can trust, who you can listen to. Always, always listen to the Holy Spirit first. He'll never guide you wrong. A person can mess up, give bad advice unintentionally, but I believe what it's talking about here is respecting those, your pastor, your teachers. And again, it's kind of hard as a pastor to talk about this. It's not about drawing attention to yourself, but it's important. Or to myself, but it's important because it says here, for they watch over your souls. You know, when I think about our church, I think about each of you. But I also think about those in the church that are lost, what they're going through. I'm reminded what I was going through when I was lost. You know, that's a lot to carry. That's something we all should, and I believe we do, but that's something we all should carry. We all should be that witness. It's not just at the place of one person. We all should carry in that burden. It's saying, remember that. Remember, that's what he said at the beginning, remember. It's talking about listening, and the most frustrating thing as a parent or supervisor is to have a plan, the plan lined up, a good plan. You know it's going to work, it's vetted, and people just question it. Just question, well, why? Well, can't we do this? I was like, well, we could, but I asked you to do this. Why can't we just do what we're told? Just keep it simple. It sounds like a dictatorship, and I don't mean that. But if a person takes time to study the Bible, think about people, pray over people, and want to help people, you should be able to trust them. And I mean that with all my heart. If somebody comes to me for help, I'm going to do everything I can to give them the right information, even take them to the Bible and say, this is why. The Bible talks about the importance also. See, I'm reminded here that they must give account. You know, the Lord is going to hold me accountable for those people who come to me and say, Preacher Jason, what do you think about this? If I give a bad response, I'm going to give account for that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have regrets that way. There's a weight, there's a burden there. I believe that's why the Bible says, remember them, pray for them. You know, life can get heavy. You know, there's things in my life that gets heavy enough, and then when you start adding on a little bit more, it can get very heavy. But boy, I tell you what, when you got a church that's praying together, people that's working together, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference. I'm not alone. You're not alone. We're actually here working together, and I thank God for it. And the more of us that are in it together, praise the Lord for it, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I think that's an important thing. I think people sometimes, men, get burnt out, maybe start out absolutely right, can get burnt out, get frustrated with people, and maybe that's where some of the compromise comes in too. It's like, well, I know if I tell Sister So-and-so this, she's not going to like it. So, but if I tell her that and she gets mad and she leaves, that's another one out of the church, and they're going to blame the preacher for it. Well, you got to tell them the truth, right? What would you do? What would you do? Tell them something just to make them happy, to keep them in the seat, and maybe negatively affect the church? It's a lot to think about. There's a lot at stake when you think about a congregation, those that are lost, those that are going through things, our young people. Many different things to think about there, and so much to pray for. But not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you, that it's a joyous thing, is what Paul is talking about here, working together. In verses number 18 and 19, I'll close with this. What a good way to close. Pray for us. Pray for us. I think we need to pray for one another. I do believe we are a praying church. We don't ever need to lose sight of that. Never lose sight of the importance of what the altar is here for. I think it's kind of easy to say, well, I can pray from my seat. Well, that's true. But you know, there's a lot of people tonight said, I can pray from my couch. A lot of people on Sunday morning, I can pray with my pajamas on. I can pray with my cup of coffee. I don't even have to go down there anymore. Is that encouraging? You think about Saturday over at the Rock. What would it be if everybody stayed at home? You don't see that. You can't wade through that place, can you, Brother Tim? You have to swim through it today, don't you? Yeah. I know Brother Tim, Brother David knows that well. Pray for Brother David. We'll make mention of that here in just a minute. People don't want to miss those things. They don't want to miss those events. I don't want to miss somebody getting saved. I don't want to miss the excitement. I don't want to miss the next shout at church, the Brother Nathan, the next song that breaks out like this. I don't want to miss it. I want to be here. I want to see it. It's important. It says again, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience. Paul backed what he stood by what he said. You know, not a lot of people today, I think, would say, follow me. Follow me. A lot of people won't say that, but you see Paul saying that, and what Paul was saying, follow me, and that I have the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you the way. If you want to get to heaven, you better follow me or what I'm saying. Pray for us, for we trust we have good conscience in all things, willingly to live honestly. He's talking about living a good Christian life, being up front, being honest like you're supposed to be, without reproach. Verse 19, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored unto you the sooner. He was wanting to come back and see the people. If you look at Paul's notes or his letters to the churches, he wanted to be there with them. There's times he couldn't be. He was in prison. Sometimes he was sick, he was bound, he couldn't get out and be with people. He wanted to be. Sometimes it was by letter, sometimes it was by sending somebody else, but he wanted to be with the people, and there should be a desire for us to want to be with God's people. But I will stop right there tonight. I appreciate your good attention. I tell you, this has been a wonderful study, and I thank the Lord for it. Just a lot of good instruction there. But I will stop with that tonight, and we will have our business conference, and then we'll dismiss with our prayer.